This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This has been a challenging year for Hong Kong. Amid prolonged protests and being tangled in the US-China trade war, they also had to contend with COVID-19 and more recently, a new national security law that reduces the city's autonomy. And if you're one of the 20,000 Malaysians that reside in Hong Kong, chances are you may not even be in the mood for Merdeka this year. But Gina Wong, she won't have any of this. Entrepreneur, business owner, and pillar of the Malaysian community in Hong Kong, Gina has been working over many years to build a home away from home for Malaysians in Hong Kong. She's the chairperson of the Malaysian Association of Hong Kong and a member of the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce Hong Kong and Macau, through which she organizes the Merdeka Ball every year to celebrate, well, just being Malaysian together. And we've got her on the line today to share what Merdeka will be like this year in Hong Kong in light of COVID-19 and everything else that's happening in the city-state.
Right. I'm Gina Wong. I'm a Malaysian-born Chinese. I have been residing in Hong Kong for the past 25 years. And so how did I start myself in Hong Kong? I was actually transferred to Hong Kong by Dow Jones. So I was working for Dow Jones for about 10 years before, I founded my own company by the name of Make the Right Call. It's a professional outsourced call center and it's based in Hong Kong and it's been in operation for the past 15 years with, servicing experience with NGOs, with automobiles, international publishers, and other fast-moving consumer goods global brands here in Hong Kong. I've got two brothers, mom's dad. They're all in Kuala Lumpur, to be specific, in Puchong. I grew up in Puchong. In the good old days when I was younger in Puchong, I remember schoolmates, talk about Puchong being a very something this and after moving to Hong Kong and visiting back home every year 2 to 3 times in a year, I get lost in transition when I go to Puchong. It has developed and diverse so much that that something word no longer actually lingers, but it's nostalgic, I have to say.
So I bet this year you haven't been able to make those trips back home.
Indeed, very unfortunately. Not just myself, but a lot of our Malaysian friends. It's pretty sad in a way. Personally, sometimes I say that I just feel like, it's a North Korea and a South Korea where, it's so near. It's just 4 hours, by flight. And yet we can't just take a flight and go home, as easy as we used to in the past. There's so much consideration. It's just not about the 14 days quarantine back home in Malaysia and coming back to Hong Kong 14 days quarantine. But it's more like, when we go back, do we want to stay with our family during the 14 days? Are they afraid? Are we afraid? It's all this fear that builds in me personally to take that trip. So it's been pretty tough emotionally, I have to admit that.
So I know, Gina, that you've been deeply involved with the Malaysian community in Hong Kong, and you've done this for years, thanks to your affiliation with the Malaysian Association of Hong Kong and the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce there. Maybe you can share with us what these groups are and how they've helped you build this Malaysian community in Hong Kong.
Well, that's a very good question. I have to personally admit that, I can't say that I'm the most patriotic Malaysian out of Malaysia. I have met a lot of Malaysians here in Hong Kong and they are really patriotic. And when I first joined the Malaysian Association back in 2004, I've met a lot of senior Malaysians who have given me a lot of directions, who have given me a lot of motivation, in staying in Hong Kong, continuing my career. And that was when I felt that even though that, you know, you're out of Malaysia, you can actually still find yourself a route outside of Malaysia, like, you know, being with the Malaysian Association or the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the time, getting to know Malaysians outside of Malaysia, it's really different. Personally, I feel that, you know, we bond very well, although that, you know, we might not know each other back home in Malaysia, but, you know, when we are outside of Malaysia, we feel like, you know, it's a family. We feel
the bond is stronger, right?
It is. It is. And I have to admit that we know each other probably more than, you know, we know our brothers and sisters back home now.
So I know, Gina, that it's been important to you to build that home away from home for Malaysians in Hong Kong. Through the Malaysian Association of Hong Kong, you started a Facebook page and managed a flurry of followers within a year, and you now organize monthly gatherings for the Hong Kong-based Malaysians so that you guys can mingle and have these gatherings. You know, are these gatherings still ongoing with the threat of COVID-19 in the background?
Well, you know, obviously with the existing threat of the COVID, we will have to suspend most of our gatherings. And this is actually our utmost importance, you know, health and safety for our members is really important. But that doesn't really stop us personally from, you know, socializing and continuing that bond as Malaysian. So we do, you know, meet, you know, once in a while, a couple of us, you know, to chit chat and to get updated. Or, you know, obviously now, you know, with WhatsApp channel, we have also built not just a Facebook, we have also built a couple of chat groups that we invite Malaysians to join in the chat groups with special, you know, hobbies like, you know, cooking, like food and you know, bowling and badminton. So we try to keep, you know, the Malaysians in Hong Kong, you know, as closely knitted as possible. Our Malaysians, we find ourselves very friendly, very diverse. The unique point with Malaysians is, you know, we always say that, you know, we have the three M's here in Hong Kong. We makan, we minum, and we main. So
sorry, what was the last one again?
We main, play.
Main, you play. Okay. Eat, drink, and play. Yes, the three M's. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know how Malaysians are, you know, when you get food around. And so our gatherings on a monthly basis, believe it or not, it's surrounding food, right? Mm. We always say that, you know, food is the only thing that brings us Malaysians together.
So, you know, speaking about COVID-19, how have Malaysians in Hong Kong been impacted by not just COVID-19, but also the long-standing protests that's been going on in the city?
Starting with the COVID-19 first, you know, for executive, for working executives here in Malaysians here in Hong Kong, obviously, you know, the COVID-19, you know, will be a threat for the security of their jobs. Not to mention about, you know, not being able to travel home. Mm-hmm. Some of the friends that I know and that we all know, you know, in Hong Kong here, where, you know, they work in Hong Kong whilst their families are back home in Malaysia, their husbands or their wives, their kids are back in Malaysia. Previously, they probably, you know, go home, you know, twice a month. But with the COVID-19, it's just sad that, you know, they can't travel home. They will have to stay in Hong Kong. So again, you know, emotionally, you know, this is also, you know, impacting a lot of our fellow Malaysians here in Hong Kong. In terms of Malaysian entrepreneurs in Hong Kong, I guess it's all the same, you know, all over the world, that, you know, every entrepreneur will have to find a new norm to maintain and to sustain our businesses under the COVID-19. And so this is where, you know, we talk a lot about innovations. We talk a lot about, you know, re-strategizing. It's tough. But, you know, as Malaysians, you know, we have always been, you know, the type that would keep going and not giving up. And I've seen a lot of our Malaysians entrepreneurs here, you know, getting right to, you know, where they want themselves to be. And they're not giving up.
So I understand that there was also a Kita Jaga Kita campaign in Hong Kong, a Hong Kong version of Kita Jaga Kita. Can you tell us a bit about how that got started?
So in Hong Kong, you know, where we talk a lot about, you know, high rental cost and manpower cost. And it all started because we felt that, you know, as Malaysians here, and for me, leading the Malaysian Association in Hong Kong, I felt that, you know, there is some kind of a sense of responsibility for us Malaysians to support our Malaysians entrepreneurs here, especially the ones that run restaurants that is working hard to maintain our Malaysian cuisines here in Hong Kong. So we kind of like, you know, had this idea amongst our executive committee. And then, you know, we started talking to some of the Malaysian restaurant entrepreneurs here. And we realized that indeed, you know, I wouldn't want to say they are struggling, but it's a huge challenge for them when the government decides, you know, to put in a ban on the dining industry. Mm-hmm. So we reached out to them under no obligations. They don't have to pay any fees under no obligations. We kind of like bridged these entrepreneurs with our Malaysians here in Hong Kong. And it was amazing, you know, when we launched that, you know, and we told all of our members through Facebook, through our website, it was amazing that, you know, we had a lot of positive responses. And I can clearly see that, you know, our members are supporting these Malaysians entrepreneurs here in Hong Kong. So, for instance, there is this one business. It's a Malaysian cuisine cafe. We call it a cafe. It's actually run and managed by a team of intellectually challenged individuals. They have been trained to cook Malaysian, like nasi lemak, laksa, chicken rice. They have been trained, you know, to be kitchen helpers and to a certain extent as chef. And so when I discovered them, I felt that not only that, you know, they need, you know, more assistance during normal business hours, but I think during this COVID-19, the more they need a lot of more of our support. And then when we introduced them to our Malaysian community, we supported them, and it was amazing. A lot of our members just couldn't believe it that, you know, the nasi lemak, the laksa, the chicken rice were actually prepared by individuals that, you know, we thought that, you know, they wouldn't have such kind of a talent. But, you know, these are the hidden talent that I personally didn't find out, and no one knew about it until we added them to our Kita Jaga Kita campaign. And it was really touching. And when I ordered, you know, a lunch meal from them, they actually sent me a very nice note from all of them. And it was really, really touching.
We're going to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, what do our friends in Hong Kong have in store for Merdeka this year? This Merdeka special, Open for Business, will be right back. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, mixtapes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to a very special edition of Open for Business in conjunction with Merdeka Day. I'm Audrey Raj, and online with me is entrepreneur, business owner, and pillar of the Malaysian community in Hong Kong, Gina Wong.
So Gina, before the break, you were talking to us about all the various community events that you guys organize via the Malaysian Association of Hong Kong and the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong and Macau. One of the biggest events, I understand, is the Merdeka Ball, which is an exclusive opportunity for the overseas Malaysians to celebrate and feel the spirit of National Day together. What's the mood been like this year? I mean, with all that's happened this year, is Merdeka even top of mind?
Yes, very much. Very much, Audrey. We're not giving up hopes, although that, you know, we can feel that, you know, it's a little bit fading for us to hold the Merdeka event in August. Generally, we have been having Merdeka Ball for the past as far as I know, that I've been here in Hong Kong for 25 years. Yeah. And we've never missed it. And it's a day that all of us here, Malaysians in Hong Kong, that we're very proud of. We have a ball in a hotel and, you know, we gather all Malaysians. We have our entertainers. We bring them from Malaysia because we want this to be a Malaysia event. You know, standing in the ballroom in a hotel in outside of Malaysia and singing the Negaraku, it's a kind of feeling that, you know, it's entirely different from how we used to sing Negaraku back in school days.
How is it different?
It's, you feel proud. You just feel proud being a Malaysian. And, you know, you just want to continue to be that proud Malaysia, demonstrating, you know, what we can do outside of Malaysia and still maintain the spirit of being a Malaysia out of Malaysia. Promoting our culture, promoting our food, promoting our economic, you know, outside of Malaysia, it makes us very proud. And I have to say, a lot of our Malaysian, a lot of our friends from other nationalities, you know, they just can't believe how united and how bonded Malaysians are in Hong Kong, despite the fact that we come from all walks of life. And to a certain extent, we have not probably met each other until, you know, on that specific evening of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it's going to be very much different. The organizing committee, we are still meeting up to figure out whether we can still have a day to celebrate Merdeka here in Hong Kong. Obviously, again, you know, health and safety is very important to us. It looks like, you know, we will not be having it, you know, in time in August. But we're still not giving up. You know, we are looking at, you know, dates moving forward towards the end of the year. This is something very uncertain, but, you know, I have to say that the organizing committee is really strong and we're really committed. And we're still, you know, very much, you know, geared towards, you know, finding the right time and the right spot to have these Merdeka Day celebrations for all of our Malaysians here in Hong Kong.
So Gina, I hear from the community in Hong Kong that as an entrepreneur over there, you feel strongly about Malaysians associating with their roots and helping Malaysians not only stay connected to businesses back home, but giving them a platform to hear and learn from the stories of other successful Malaysians. Why do you do this, and how does this help entrepreneurs there, in your experience?
Well, in my experience, you know, whilst you have introduced me, you know, as a pretty much, you know, active socially amongst the Malaysian community here in Hong Kong, when I first arrived, you know, and up to now, you know, as a young aspiring executive and now, you know, an entrepreneur myself here in Hong Kong, I personally feel that it is both equally important for an overseas Malaysians to get acquainted and associated with our roots. So when we're out in Hong Kong, you know, we're the roots for Malaysians in Hong Kong will be platforms like the Malaysian Chamber of Hong Kong and Macau, where it helps any Malaysian not just only stay connected to business back home, but a valuable platform where, you know, one can learn and hear stories from other successful Malaysian entrepreneurs here in Hong Kong and how we as Malaysians in Hong Kong can be equally successful as well. So through these platforms like the Chamber, like the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce, we get a lot of opportunities to meet with executives from various industries through the network we build within the Chamber. It provides us as a Malaysian, you know, a true feeling of security and most of all, the guidance and a pathway as a young executive or entrepreneur might not experience in any other avenues. I'm just assuming that a lot of us that arrived in Hong Kong, you know, will be looking to set up a career in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is where personally, you know, having such a platform, you know, does help young executives, you know, upon their arrival in Hong Kong.
So, Gina, you also, via the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce, work with students who study in Hong Kong or who are keen to study in Hong Kong?
Right. So one of the greatest things that the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce have set up is they have set up their Malaysian student funds in Hong Kong. This is a very key initiative, and the student fund was set up back in August 2016 to to help Malaysians who wish to study in Hong Kong. And since its founding, this fund has helped 58 students, and it has raised about Hong Kong dollar 5.8 million. And this has given, you know, a lot of these students that opportunity to, you know, stay in Hong Kong. The funds will help them to maintain, you know, a decent living standard here in Hong Kong, whilst, you know, we want them to focus and continue with their studies. I truly feel that the young Malaysians that I've personally met here in Hong Kong, they are really smart, they are intelligent. And these are the ones that, you know, we should give, you know, opportunities for them to grow and, you know, to get themselves into Hong Kong market and build themselves a career here in Hong Kong. I'm not too sure how much opportunity that they would get, you know, back in Malaysia. But I will have to say that, you know, meeting these Malaysian students here in Hong Kong, you know, it has given me a very proud feeling that, you know, Malaysians, you know, we are linguistic, we are creative, we are very innovative, you know, as young as, you know, when they start to go to school. And I wouldn't want to compare our Malaysian students with the local students here. But I will have to say that, you know, the mindset and the attitude of our young Malaysians here in Hong Kong that I've met, you know, they have never disappointed me or any of our entrepreneur friends here in Hong Kong. They have had that ability to, you know, survive themselves in such a competitive market. So being entrepreneurs here in Hong Kong with a couple of other entrepreneurs amongst the chambers, you know, we would like to nurture them, and eventually we would like to give them an opportunity, you know, to practice or to be interns in, you know, our businesses that we have set up in Hong Kong here.
Right. That is so wonderful, Gina. And on behalf of all Malaysians back home, can I just thank you for all the work you've done via the Malaysian Association of Hong Kong and the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce to welcome, to foster and to connect fellow Malaysians in your city. You make us proud, Gina.
Thank you. It's the least that, you know, we can do as proud Malaysians outside of Malaysia.
And finally, you know, before we go, do you have a message for Malaysians in Malaysia from our brothers and sisters in Hong Kong?
Yes, indeed. To my family, you know, I miss all of you very much. To all Malaysians in Malaysia, keep up the Malaysia bully spirit. You know, the way that Malaysians, you know, fought through the pandemic in the last 3 months, it's been very inspirational. Not just to us Malaysians here in Hong Kong, but a lot of our friends in Hong Kong said the same thing as well. Keep it up. You know, the Malaysian bully spirit will definitely, you know, put us all together one day.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, Gina. And I hope you have a wonderful and safe Merdeka.
Thank you very much, Audrey. You too.
I've been speaking with CEO of Make the Right Call, also chairperson of the Malaysian Association of Hong Kong and a member of the Malaysian Chamber of Commerce, Hong Kong and Macau, Gina Wong. Now, if you missed out on any part of this interview, the podcast will be up on our website, bfm.my, any minute now. You can also find the podcast on the BFM app, on iTunes, on Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcast fix. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of the Enterprise team and all of us here at BFM, selamat menyambut Hari Merdeka and stay safe, everyone. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.